Well, there are reports coming in now of yet another Israeli strike in Gaza, this time on a high-rise downtown Gaza City building that houses media organizations, including the Hamas TV station Al-Aqsa, hit an apparent Israeli airstrike, according to the AP. So violence continuing as we speak. We want to turn now to a couple of people to bring us some more perspective on the region as events are unfolding. Noel King, freelance journalist in Cairo, is monitoring a press conference going on now live with Khalid Mishal, political leader of Hamas. Hello, Noel.
Hi there, Todd.
We're also joined by Rashid Khalidi, Edward Said, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University, with some perspective on Hamas. Rashid, hello. Welcome back to the show. Noel, let me start with you, because a press conference going on now, as I said, with Khalid Mishal of Hamas. There were reports earlier this morning of Israeli demands for a ceasefire. Mishal has responded. What's he saying?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting bit of timing here, Todd, because we knew he was going to speak today. We didn't know if Mishal would be coming out to announce something in the way of a ceasefire. At the moment, about 15 minutes in, it certainly doesn't sound like that at all. Here's a little bit of what he's saying. Morale on the ground in Gaza is high. He's obviously referring to Israel's attempts to take out Hamas leaders. He's saying, you know, Hamas is a legitimate resistance. Israel is an occupier. Israel lacks the will and the conviction for a truce. So he is certainly not backing down in any of the statements that he's made so far. This is a pretty angry press conference, if you will.
And can you bring us up to date, Noel King, on exactly what the Israeli demands were for a ceasefire, the clearest seeming to be a stop to rocket attacks?
Yes, that's right. And Todd, actually, the issue really this time around has been what Hamas is demanding. You know, Hamas understands that the political calculus in the region has changed and that it has friends now that it did not before. Friends in power in Egypt, friends in power in Turkey. And so they're asking this time around for some longer term demands, including things like what they describe as lifting the siege on Gaza, opening permanently the Rafah crossing between Egypt's Sinai Peninsula and the Gaza border. Those demands are much harder to meet than anything like simply stopping the tit-for-tat fire that's been going on thus far. It's a little bit of a political quagmire at this point, because those are things you can't just go ahead and grant right away. At least that's the impression we're getting from Cairo.
All right, Rashid Khalidi of Columbia University, let me turn to you with that question as talks continue in Cairo between the battling factions here. Does Hamas, a long-time political operator in Gaza, much to the consternation of Israel and the United States, have new clout because Islamist-leaning politicians are now in control of Egypt? Do they have more currency than they used to, or is it still just the rejected enemy of Israel? What's your perspective on this?
I think some of the leaders of Hamas may think that they do actually have a little stronger position, given that in Turkey, in Qatar, in Tunisia, and especially in Egypt, you do have new governments, which I think are more responsive to public opinion than governments, certainly in the Arab world, leaving Turkey aside, were in the past. In the past, you had governments in power that paid lip service to the Palestine cause, but tended to do what the Israelis and the Americans wanted, especially in Cairo. And that is a proposition that has yet to be tested, whether these governments will actually be more firm. But I think some leaders of Hamas may have thought that the situation had changed in their favor. At least, it's interesting. That is a perception that's coming out of Israel. The Israelis are telling us that Hamas is more confident. That may also be true.
And then I hear you say that, Rashid Khalidi, and then I think, well, this may have been opportune timing for a Hamas that thinks it's newly politically empowered to test the notion, to fire rockets and see where its new position takes it.
Except if you look back at the firing of rockets that's been going on for the past several weeks, going back before this escalation, it tended to be the smaller groups that Hamas has had some difficulty controlling and which are sort of outbidding Hamas, portraying themselves as more militant, that often initiated things. Secondly, were that to be the case, one would think that when a ceasefire had apparently been negotiated, Israel would have taken advantage of it rather than killing the Hamas military leader, Ahmadinejad, which really set things off. So, you know, I'm susceptible to an interpretation that says that Hamas may have thought the situation was better, except a couple of things, and might have thereby been encouraged, except a couple of things which nobody ever wants to talk about. Israel had apparently a ceasefire and chose a major escalation, killing the senior Hamas military commander in the field. And that, of course, set things off once again. So is it Israel trying to push its regional situation and check whether, in fact, things are different? Or to be even more cynical, is it Prime Minister Netanyahu running for office in January on a campaign showing how tough he is with Hamas? Or is it Hamas pushing the envelope? Or is it both? I don't think either of those interpretations is mutually exclusive.
Noel King, as you monitor the press conference that we mentioned with Khalid Mashal, political leader of Hamas, bring us up to date on the moment, if you will. Is this perhaps, if we've heard reports of a potential ceasefire, a last exit point before the other thing that we've heard is imminent, which is a possible Israeli ground invasion of Gaza? If a ceasefire is not reached here, is it possible that the next news reports we have are tanks rolling over the border?
The ground invasion is obviously the nightmare scenario that everybody wants to avoid. And the frantic diplomacy in Cairo over the past 72 hours, it gives you every indication that everything is being done. Mohamed Morsi, the president of Egypt, has met with leaders from Turkey and Qatar. He's met with leaders from Hamas. He's had an Israeli negotiator on the ground. So everything is being done diplomatically. We get the impression within Cairo. Egypt's prime minister, interestingly, came out a couple of hours ago and said we are getting very close to a truce. He was speaking on the sidelines of an economic summit, and it's unclear if that was a little bit of wishful or hopeful thinking or whether we really are getting closer to a truce. But at this point, I think guessing would be a bit of a fool's game.
That's Noel King, freelance reporter in Cairo, bringing us up to date on the latest between Israel and Gaza. Also, Rashid Khalidi, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University. We thank you both. Well, we want your perspective on this, as we do in all things here on The Takeaway at 8778-MY-TAKE. There were reports of a possible ceasefire agreement between Hamas and Israel. We don't know if that's the case right at this moment. We continue to follow this news.